Seems to think Crosby has been doing a really yeoman job as master of ceremonies on this Victory Command performance. So it's time to give him a breather. Now, Bing, you just sit back there, relax, and take it easy.
Thank you, Bill.
You've been doing a grand job, Bing.
You're grand to say so.
I want you just to slow down and kind of enjoy this next number.
I'd love to, Bill. What's it going to be?
Bing Crosby singing San Fernando Valley.
Oh, I'm trapped. I'm trapped. I'm trapped in my love. As I'm packing my grip and I'm leaving today and I'm taking a trip California way. I'm fixing to settle down and never more roam and make the San Fernando Valley my home. I'll forget my sins. I'll be making new friends where the west begins and the sunset ends. I'm gonna settle down and never more roam and make the San Fernando Valley my home. I think that old Reverend Thomas made us a solemn promise that he'd make the two of us one. And I think that I'm safe in Satan. My tomato will be waiting. I'm coming home on the run. So I'm hitting the trail for the cow country. You can forward my mail, care of RFD. I'm gonna settle down and never more roam and make the San Fernando Valley my home. And make the San Fernando Valley my home.
I don't know, those wolf calls and whistles can't be for me. This is Harry Von Zell. One of the command performance's great departments during the past few years has been sounds from home. The train whistling at a crossing, the rattle of a milk wagon at 6 a.m., the yelp of somebody's mother-in-law getting a hot foot. Tonight we're going to repeat some of the sounds we've been asked for in the past. For instance, there's a memorable request we got from a sailor. It says, "Dear command performance, could you possibly have Lucille Ball sigh for me?" That's all, brother. Just have her sigh. Well, since request is never too big or too small hereabouts, how about it, Lucille? Let's have that sigh, Ain't that... Well, that's all, brother. Just pick him up, man. Pick him up.
Now there's a sound effect that you can do for the boys, Harry.
Oh?
We've had 84,209 requests for the same thing.
Well, what is it, Lucille?
The sound of a bugler getting shot.
Oh, boy. Well, now, there's something they've wanted to do for a long time. Somebody hand me an M1 and let's go.
There you are, Harry. When the bugler starts to play, let him have it.
Okay. I got him that time. Well... Now for another important sound effect, Lucille. I have a letter here which reads, "Dear Command Performance, the sound I would love to hear most is Harry Von Zell kissing Lucille Ball."
Well, I don't know.
Now, don't forget anything for the boys, Lucille.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah. Ah.
There. By the way, who sent in that request?
Me.
Hi, Phyllis. This is G.I. Jill. A few weeks ago, we sent you program number 1,000 of G.I. Jive. It was sort of a celebration, hitting the all-time high mark on one of your own special shows. But this is a day we've really been waiting for. G.I. Jive wants to latch on to the proceedings and join the beam with our own theme man, Mr. G.I. Jive himself, Johnny Mercer.
This is a G.I. Jive, man alive. It starts with the bugler blowing reveille over your bed when you arrive. Jack, that's a G.I. Jive. Rudely toot, jump in your suit, make a salute. Boot. After you wash and dress, more or less, you go get your breakfast in a beautiful little cafe they call the Mess. Jack, when you convalesce, out of your seat, into the street, make with the feet. If you're a PVT, your duty is to salute the L-I-U-T. But if you brush the L-I-E-U-T, the M-P makes you KP on the QT. This is a G.I. Jive, man alive. They give you a private tank that features a little device called Fluid Drive. Jack, after you revive, chunk all your junk back in the trunk, fall on your bunk. Clunk. But if you brush the L-I-E-U-T, hey, the M-P makes you K-P on the Q-T. This is the G.I. Jive, man alive. They give you a private tank that features a little device called Fluid Drive. Hey, Jack, after you revive, chunk all your junk back in the trunk, fall on your bunk. Lunk. Soon you're counting G. But before you count to five, you'll be right back digging at G.I.
The radio scrapbook of this war must contain more than the memories of music and entertainment. Memorable words have passed through microphones into the ether these past 5 years. Edward G. Robinson and Orson Welles are here to recreate some of these words.
Edward G. Robinson speaking. Well, this is the payoff. This is the time to reflect on the events and deeds which have brought this victory into being. We've had some great military leaders in this conflict. Their words have rallied us at times when the outlook was pretty black. A few months after Pearl Harbor, when our hopelessly outnumbered forces had to evacuate the Philippines, General of the Armies Douglas MacArthur spoke these words.
Corregidor needs no comment from me. It has sounded its own story at the mouth of its guns. It has scrolled its own epitaph on enemy tablets. But through the bloody haze of its last reverberating shot, I shall always seem to see the vision of its grim, gaunt, and ghostly men, still unafraid.
As the march toward Tokyo quickened its pace, Admiral of the Fleet, Chester W. Nimitz, spoke these words about the victory to come.
Our entrenched enemy, and the long road we must travel to get at him, are the barriers to victory. They will not be overcome until much hard work has been done. But we know that any aggressor nation choosing to test the fiber of the American people in war will be given an object lesson in what it means to work and what it means to fight. With faith in the justice of our cause and confidence in our ability to see it through, we will not fail.
The men and women of the United States Navy have proved the rightness of the Admiral's words. Another great military leader, General of the Armies Dwight D. Eisenhower, has spoken out with conviction about the ways of peace.
The soldier knows that in war, the threat of separate annihilation tends to hold allies together. He hopes we can find in peace a nobler incentive to produce the same unity. He passionately believes that with the same determination, the same optimistic resolution, and the same mutual consideration among allies, the problems of peace can and must be met. He sees the United Nations, strong but considerate, humane and understanding leaders in the world, to preserve the peace he is winning.
The will of the world's people is united behind General Eisenhower's prophecy. By the grace of God, the peace that begins today will be a peace that endures.
Yes, this is certainly a great day. To us here, there's only one fellow missing. He's busy elsewhere. That grand old man of comedy, Mr. Bob Hope. I know that Bob and I have said many disparaging things about one another. He's way in front. But actually, there's a pretty deep bond between us. There's nothing in the world I wouldn't do for Bob Hope. There's nothing in the world he wouldn't do for me. That's the way we go through life, doing nothing for each other. Well, we sure miss him. Now, folks, we bring you one of the brightest young stars ever to flash across the entertainment world. Loads of charm, bursting with talent, a really thrilling personality, effervescent, magnetic, dynamic, Danny Kaye. Well, how are you tonight, Danny? Pretty good, huh?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I bet you have something really sensational for our show tonight.
Uh-huh.
Something that'll really rock 'em, sock 'em, lay 'em in the aisles, eh?
Uh-huh.
What personality, what magnetism this boy has. He's loaded.
Uh-huh.
Is uh-huh all you can say?
Uh-uh.
Well, say something else, for goodness sake.
Bing, my dear little boy. Здравствуйте, кузис из леснязи со стросняльес марквандоли сорто и снеж брасвачи жолькя. Марч!
What does that mean?
Uh-huh.
Oh, now, this is ridiculous. I thought you were supposed to be a comedian, Danny.
Well, I am after a fashion, Bingy boy, but there's no sense trying to top you, the great Bing Crosby. You know, you've got loads of charm. You're bursting with talent, a really thrilling personality. Effervescent, magnetic, dynamic Bing Crosby.
Uh-huh.
And besides, Bingy, my files only go back to 1937.
Well, yes, that is a disadvantage. My ad-libs go clear back to Bob Hope.
That's just what I figured, so if you don't mind, Bing, I'll just sing.
That'll be grand, Danny. What's it going
to
be?
Well, I'd like to do a little thing we did in a picture called Up in Arms. It was in the scene of a lobby theater. And this, if you remember, took place in the lobby of a movie house, and we were all standing on line, and I was complaining very bitterly to some people standing with me and that we were going in to see a musical picture. And I said, if you see musical pictures, you've seen them all. If you've seen one, you've seen them all. So So I said, supposing you do get in the theater, and supposing you do get a seat, and suppose the woman in front does take her hat off, what do you see?
Manic Depressive Pictures presents... Hello, Fresno, goodbye. Produced by Are You Manic? And directed by Depressive.
Now you know the name of the picture and you'd like to see it. But now... Screenplay by Gluck, from a stage play by Mops, from a story by Blip, from a chapter by Ronk, from a sentence by Dokes, from a comma by Stokes, from an idea by Groats, based on a Joe Miller's a joke. Now you know the name of the picture and who wrote it. And you'd still like to see it. But now... Art direction, Finkel Puff and Teary is Minerva Puff photography, Alonzo Tech recorded sound as Needle Beck upholstery by Zachary, Knickknackery by Thackeray, Tachickery by Dickery, and Dickery by Doc. Now, finally, at last, comes the picture. And what do we see? The same old beautiful chorus girl. The opening scene is a ranch in Fresno, California. So what are they singing?
When it's cherry blossom time in Orange, New Jersey, we'll make a peach of our pear. I know we can't elope, so honey, do be mine. And
up from the gulch rides a hunk of man. He is our hero, Cowboy Dan, a galloping, yodeling buckaroo. His horse, of course, is a baritone, too. I've got the wagon wheels inside of me. I've got that old cactus in the hide of me. I've got that.
The girls are delighted to hear this.
But where is our heroine? As the bell rings for lunch, we find our heroine in the corral eating her heart out.
She is Mary Sue Ann, tap-dancing daughter of an American juggling act who left her on the doorstep of an old English castle where she was found by Sir Basil Metabolism, who said,
By Jove, girl, baby! I shall raise her as me own daughter!
Which he did. But she wants to tap dance, and Cowboy Dan, who she met on this trip and whose love at first sight, wants to marry her so she can't tap dance, but she knows Sir Basil will never permit this. Never! Never! Never!
That's why she's eating her heart out. Because she wants to tap dance.
But through her tears, she is singing a happy little song. Because she is also a coloratura soprano. Beside herself. A favorite position.
Oh, Father, you must let me marry Cowboy Dan. He owns the biggest ranch in Texas.
Bar none.
Bar none? Well, that's the password of the FBI.
It can't be. No, no, yes, yes. No, no, yes, yes. No, no, yes, yes. No, no, yes, yes. Can't be.
But it was.
He rushes to Mary Sue Ann. Mary Sue Ann, can you help me? You must step out a message in code. This is her big chance. Now she can tap dance, which she does. But what has she done? She has betrayed her own father. But he isn't her father. He is Heinrich von Schlupen von Godesflum, home in the Godesflum, hide in the Bing Crosby, held and piled in the hole.
The dangerous German spy.
Stick up your hands, you dirty rat, and Gaud is flirting, Eitenblatt, so the FBI finally captured the German spy. Dan and Mary are about to blame. You think the picture's about to end?
But no.
Who ever heard of a musical picture without Carmelita Pepita, the Bolivian Bomichel?
I wish you could come with me to my little village in Bolivia. So peaceful there at the purple mountains with the lovely mist and the shining stars. And the little people who live so simple and quiet. And all they want to do is sing.
When it's cherry blossom time in Orange, New Jersey, we'll make a peach of a
You fellas have heard this young lady sing on 60 assorted shows.
During these war years, we've never been short on musical imports from South America to beam to you wherever you are. One of the chief purveyors of L'Amour Latin from the Rhine to the Yangtze is La Carmen Miranda, who's going to sing Tico Tico.
Se tico tico cedo que se alimenta, que vai comer umas minhocas no fumar. Tico 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 tá, não sabe aqui. Tico 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 tá comendo meu fubá. Se tico tico cedo que se alimenta, que vai comer umas minhocas no fumar. Oh, mas que papo tira esse bicho do celeiro, porque ele acaba comendo o fubá inteiro. Tira esse tipo de classe que mata o meu fubá. Tanta coisa que ele pode brincar. Eu já fiz tudo para ver se conseguia. Botei ao pinte para ver se ele comia. Botei um batom, está caminhando a palma dele. Acha que o fubá é que é boa alimentação. E tico tico tá, dá outra vez aqui. O tico tico tá comendo meu fubá. Tico tico tenta que se alimentar, que vai comer uma vinheta no fumar. Tico 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 tá, dá outra vez aqui. O tico tico tá comendo meu fubá. Tico tico tenta que se alimentar, que vai comer uma vinheta no fumar. Oh, mas que papo tira esse bicho do celeiro, porque ele acaba comendo o fubá inteiro. Tira esse tico tico tá, te mata o meu fubá. Que tanta coisa que ele pode brincar. Eu já fiz tudo para ver se conseguia. Botei ao pinte para ver se ele comia. Botei um gato, um espadalinho, essa palma dele. Acha que fubá é que é boa alimentação. Tico tico tá, dá outra vez aqui. O tico tico tá comendo meu fubá. Tico tico tenta que se alimentar.
This is Claudette Colbert. When you men sailed away, thousands of you remembered radio guests at a beer and soda club known as Duffy's Tavern. Through its swinging doors have passed some of our most interesting people. Helen Hayes, George Jean Nathan, Oscar Levant, and scores more, to discuss science, literature, and the arts with Archie, the erudite bartender. Archie, the master of the bon mot, doctor of the faux pas, and butcher of the King's English. So without further ado, Command Performance presents the lovable and unpredictable bartender of Duffy's Tavern, Archie, Ed Gardner.
Well, thank you, and I'm much obliged to meet you, too, Miss Colbert.
Well, thank you, Archie.
Yeah, it ain't every day I meet a high-class tomato like yourself.
Well, that's very flattering, I think. Yeah. Tell me, Archie, I've heard so much about Duffy's Tavern. What sort of place is it?
Well, it's only one of the most exclusive joints in New York, you know.
Exclusive, huh?
Very risque. Yeah, we cater to nothing but the hoi polloi. As a matter of fact, you can't get into the place without a card, you know.
Yeah, and how do you get a card?
We got a kid in the street handing them out.
Well, that's a very fresh idea.
Yeah, well, it's a fresh kid. Yeah, it's a great place, Duffy's. You know, when you say what's it like, it's hard to describe, but it has that certain something, you know.
Je ne sais quoi?
What?
Je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, yeah. Got a little of that, too.
I mean, it has that air of distinction.
Distinction? Oh, well, it did have at first, but the health department took care of that.
I see. Well, tell me, how's the cuisine?
The cuisine? Oh, the best. Practically as good as the food. Oh, what food, Miss Colbert. The next time you get a sucker, you know, to take you to dinner, mm-hmm. Bring him down to the joint. Try our 25-cent seven-course dinner. That's the one with the laminated herring. You'll never forget it.
Seven courses for 25 cents.
Well, it might not seem like much to you, but it's a lot of money to the bums that come into the joint. Yeah, and it's worth it when you consider the service, you know?
Oh, the service is the best, too, hmm?
Je ne sais quoi. Yeah. Yeah, we make it personal, you know? A private napkin to each customer. Individual knives and forks. The tablecloth changed every fortnight. Sometimes even every third night. And, of course, you know, we wouldn't dream of putting a spittoon on the table unless it had a doily under it. So, you see, it's worth 25 cents when you consider the floor show.
A floor show?
Yeah, a one-man band, a guy known as the Lone Ranger. Terrific guy. He plays the harmonica with his mouth, the drums with his feet, and the cymbals with his elbows.
What does he do with his hands?
He holds them over his ears. The guy can't stand it.
And you... Oh, I can't believe it. You left such a charming establishment to come here to Hollywood.
Yeah, but there's madness in me, Method. Miss Colbert, how would you like to be co-starred with one of the greatest living movie actors?
Who?
Me.
You?
Yeah, me. Miss Colbert, you don't happen to know it, but actor's blood curses through me corpuscles.
But you've never acted.
Don't make no difference. The smell of the grease ball is in me nostrils. Yeah, you and me will make a great team, Claudie.
Well, I'm sorry, Archie, but I sort of promised Bill Shakespeare I'd go back to Broadway and do one of his plays next season.
You promised Shakespeare? Ain't he dead?
Yeah, I promised it to him on his deathbed.
Well, a promise is a promise. Leave us forget pictures. You and me will do Shakespeare on the stage together. Yep, and mayhap we'll even win the Pulitzer Prize. That never died like that. Yeah. Together we'll march onward, Claudie. We'll be a team like Alfred Lint and Lunt Fontaine. Like that Shilkret and Le Gallien. Like Abbott and Costello.
But, Archie, you and Shakespeare.
Why not? I bet that Shakespeare with me eye teeth. William Randolph Shakespeare. The Bard. The Bard of Stratford Avenue. What a writer he was. To be or not to be. Only three words, but fought with what meaning?
What do they mean?
Who cares? It was beautiful. And that other sock expression of his, Juliet, Juliet. Wherefore art thou, Juliet?
Oh, please, leave me get out of here.
Now, wait a minute. You can't walk out on me. What about the team? What about this Pulitzer Prize?
No, no, Archie, yours is a great talent. It belongs to the world. You don't need me.
No?
No.
Maybe not.
No, Archie, you must go on alone to great heights. Oh, I can see it now, your name in lights. Archie in King Lear. Archie in Macbeth.
Archie in Hamlet.
Archie in Twelfth Night.
Archie in Tobacco Road.
Yes, yes, you'll go on and on. And all I ask is that someday when you're striding about the stage in your long black tights, you will look up toward the balcony, and there in the very last row will be a little old lady, and I will be saying to the people around me, "That's Archie. I knew him when. I knew him when."
You think you ought to be talking while I'm acting?
I don't know, but I'm sure of one thing. I oughtn't to be acting while you're talking.
Well, anyways, good night, and I bid you a fond adieu. Okay.
An enlisted man, Yeoman Third Class William Welch, has written a prayer for this day of victory. Orson Welles will read it. We join in spirit around the world as these words are spoken.
O God of battle and of peace, for the blessings of this day, for the lives that have been spared, for the prayers that have been answered, thank you from a full and humble heart. In this, the hour of peace, remember those, O God, who gave so much and asked so little. Hear the voices of these men, rising from the jungles of New Guinea and the Solomons, from the blood-soaked soil of Iwo Jima and the flame-scorched caves of Okinawa. Hear the chorus of their thanks, from the mass of wreckage at Salerno and the twisted rubble that was once a German town. across the length and breadth of every continent, from the hell-scarred places where they fell, their voices in thanksgiving rise. In memory of these and all the other men and women of the world who bled and died that we might see this day, men of myriad tongues, of myriad faiths, and many races, men who had in common the love of dignity and freedom, to these, the citizens of Earth, we dedicate our future and our lives. Give us strength, O God, and wisdom to use the gift that was so dearly bought with blood and toil and tears. Amen.
The Armed Forces Radio Service has brought you this special broadcast commemorating Victory Day. This is Ken Carpenter signing off on behalf of all who appeared on command performance on this, the first day of world peace.